Yeah. Eagle FM lets you express your right to express yourself without fear, as long as you have a lawyer. Good morning and welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM. I'm here until the hour of one, walking you through what... today's subject is going to be based on migrations, and this is migrations basically the world over. We're going to start with Namibia, and then Namibia's from a historical point of view, and now after that, then we're going to shift to Western countries and their our immigration in the way that we're going to talk about today. On Mind the Gap is more like, where did we come from before we find ourselves? We all know about heaven and, bedrooms. That's not what we are here to talk about. Now, I'm talking about migration as in our migratory patterns in different, tribes as we find ourselves here in Namibia. And that is, my main source of reference on that is going to be the report, of course, the report that Helmed and Dwight were talking about on Friday. That's the report of the Commission on Inquiry into a claim of ancestral land rights and restitutions. Like we pointed out earlier on Friday, for those of you that were listening, this is has 780 something, almost 900 pages long document. So I just it's winter and I have never been good at going out. I just buy my beer and then get drunk at home. That way, I get to save my teeth. I don't have to worry about getting in a fight with anyone. I don't have to worry about losing my phone. And, the dream. But anyway, the thing is, picked like a very small part that can fit in our segment because I also have to look at what's happening in Catholic. Hey, there's a coup going on in your church. Catholics, what's going on there? There's a village in Switzerland. By village, they mean town. It's Switzerland, of course. By village, they mean town. Where a bunch of guys decided to go, you know what? This whole... Well, Pope Leo, it's not like we don't like you. It's just that I think we like it the old way. We like Catholic the old way, in a sense that this whole thing of let's get together with other religious groups, that's a lot of nonsense. And, this whole thing of, let's just also give women equal participation into religious activities, that's also a lot of nonsense. Now, our goal is to make sure that let's go back as far back as, as historically possible in our religious practices. And that's when I was like, oh, I'm definitely talking about this, because the first thing that came in my head was Castratus. Now, Castratus is my favorite part of the Roman Catholic history, where there was a time in the, things started in the 1700s, but really picked up in the 1800s. And then it died out somewhere around 1920s. They had a practice where they really wanted high-pitched female voices in the choir. Here's the irony. They wanted female voices in singing in church, but they did not want female in church. So then they realized, oh, hang on a second. There's one interesting male source of female voice. Children, excellent. The problem is the children kept growing up. And I was like, okay, what should we do? And then, believe it or not, a fully grown man stood up and said, I have an idea of how to make sure that these children don't grow up. At least vocally, they don't grow up. How about we just castrate them? And castrate them they did. Now, it turns out when you lose your crown jewels as a guy, that means that there is a zero, a testosterone, which is also the primary source of that makes your voice change somewhere around 14, 16. Don't ask me why mine haven't changed. That's because, why is that? Never really asked myself that. Oh, but it really did change because at some point there was a time where I sounded like a mosquito. Now, anyway. So that's what we're going to be talking about when we start cooking the Catholic. And today is Sunday. This could not be even be more fun. Now, if you are Namibian and you are European, and you just moved here from Europe or moved anywhere you are listening outside of Europe, anywhere you are listening from. First of all, thank you for tuning in. And if you are all these things and also Namibian and Catholic, today's Mind the Gap is going to be. Let's get to cooking. Now, as you all know, I love history. I just love history. And wherever I find any excuse to talk about history. And what is history anyway? History is story of the past. Well, what you had for breakfast is history. That's your past. Your future, on the other hand, that still remains unpredictable. Now, so European migrations, aka when they are migrating right now, they are busy migrating those ones with money. The broke ones have to endure the terrible economic and political, environment their countries find themselves in right now. Now, so let's start with home now, shall we? And then we go to Europe and then we wrap things up with Catholic. And what's going on in Switzerland? Some guys decided, Pope Leo, I don't know. This whole thing of welcoming everyone into our faults, like the Bible say, and this whole thing of, let's just, we are all children of God, male, female, black, white. Yeah, no, that's not us. That's not us. And there's something interesting more interesting going on there. And it, by the way, I just find that exciting because this is not the first time that a religious organization is splitting apart on account of ideologies or point of view of their ideologies. This has been happening all throughout history. All you just have to do is read the history of your church or your denomination, and you'll find that it's most likely branched out from somewhere. You most likely have what you'd call, for the sake of a better word, the original founder, and then you'll realize that at some point in the history of your religion, some women or some men realized, you know what? Nah, this is not how it should be, and then started an entire denomination, and now you call that place your church. At this point, it's not about religion anymore. It's more about power. See, this is why I respect lower-ranking religious, religious affiliators. I respect those ones. But the guys at the top, I don't care what your religion is. If you are at the top of the, of that religion or that denomination's food chain, I don't have the same respect for you as the one I have for someone that is just deep in the village practicing to the best of their ability, that particular religion. Because those are the ones that really mean what they do. You, on the other hand, whom they respect, highly debatable. I think the higher up you go on the radar, on the ladder of power, in any organization, the more things become about you, not about the ideology that you are preaching, which I find very fascinating, but it's not shocking. I mean, it's human beings. Wherever we can, we will grab power, any opportunity we get. And this is true for pretty much any human being. I don't care if you are Western, Eastern, Central, North, South, black, white, short, fat, thin, we all power hungry. And you can take the nicest, that's one thing I find very psychologically fascinating about power. You can take the nicest person and put them in a position of power. 90% of the time, they are going to become tyrannical. There are not a lot of historical figures that actually did it the other way around. Actually, you have individuals like Marcus Aurelius who decided, you know what? Power is a little too much. I'm just going to go and live an ordinary life. Really? Imagine Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates' kids deciding to give up their trust fund privileges so they can come and live in the same environment and economic status as a helmet. Helmut has mastered the art of being broke. Can you? Now, anyway, let's go to, let's start with Namibia, like I pointed out. Now, my favorite part about this report, like I pointed out, is starts from page 18 to page 24. My favorite, actually my second favorite, my first favorite, which I'm not going to dive in because it's a lot of information, takes you to chapter 6 of the report, which is public knowledge. You can find it out. So our government, the government of the Republic of Namibia, back in 2019, decided to go on a fact-finding mission. At least that's how they like to call these things. Anyways, a fact-finding mission to find out this whole ancestral land thing. So how does it go? Yeah, then the whole document is over 700 pages long because it starts looking into the history of different tribes on, and then the different, and then they get to testimonies. That chapter 6, the reason why it's kind of difficult to go through that, it's because they, the testimonies they gathered both, if you combine, the total number of testimonies they gathered all across the country at the end of the commission of this commission's, inquiry. When they combine both written and oral testimonies, they ended up with 1,743 unique testimonies. 1,743 testimonies. To read yours, by yours, I mean, because there is one that's written for pretty much, pretty much every tribe and every subgroup under that particular tribe. And it's, look, it's amazing to just read it, for the love of God. Now, if you, how can you know what Nicki Minaj had for breakfast, but you don't know this part of your history? But anyway, I'm gonna take you through, the commission received a total of 784 written submissions, and written submissions from deponents varied in length from a single page, I call it laziness page, I mean testimonies on ancestral land in Namibia, and you are writing one page? Are you kidding me? Anyway, the length of these testimonies in on the point of view of ancestral land ran from a single page all the way to 300 pages. Now, cooking. In total, the commission received at least 4,500 pages of written submission, including attachment based on the average of 6 pages per written submission. They were even told, you know, let's just keep it to, you know, to 6 pages of written submission because, basically every group or tribe can write 300 pages or 4,500 pages of ancestral land point of view, of their point of view or collective, individual or collective point of view on the ancestral land discussion in Namibia. Now, whoever wrote one page on an ancestral land inquiry in Namibia, ancestral land, and you are writing one page? I don't mean to criticize. Oh, it's mind the game. Of course I'm going to criticize. And also because the security guard at the door and all my doors are locked. Thank you. Now, with the decision to regard an oral testimony and written submission from individuals or entity as a single testimony, the commission had a total of 1,743 unique testimonies for the purpose of review and analysis. Whew. So then they have a very nice table on page 119 where they're looking at how many testimonies in total. Then they also factor in how many testimonies they got from male, how many testimonies they got from female. And it turns out men, when it comes to ancestral land discussion, we can talk more than women. Erongo, female, 31 testimonies. Male, 87 testimonies. Wait till we get to commas. Actually, Kunene had a lot of things to say, but they did not have as much to say as Oshodonjupa did because they had 218 pages. 218 males who had a lot of things to say and only 37 females. And now, hard up, 34 females, 84 males. Oh, we can talk when it comes to Lent. My gender, women can talk when it comes to anything else, like, you know, like what? I've been to the salons. Don't ask. There was a time when I was romantic, you know, when they were doing someone's daughter's hair. I'm there feeding them chocolate, and then Jolo did me dirty. Then I threw in a towel. Now, anyway, then in the Karas region, you have 22. There were 22 testimonies that came from females and 72 from males. Kavango West, you have got to be serious. 11. I can't defend us when it comes to statistics like this. 11 females and 60 dudes stood up and said, you know what, about ancestral land, I'll do this. Kavango West, y'all were just running around saying, I want your name. It's about ancestral land. Stop behaving like Keka Sweet. 16 being asked out for the first time in high school. Oh, they might just cook in my... Of course I am. It's 11 females to 60 males. Commas. Aren't we supposed to be like the more bourgeoisie ones? 52 females, 102 males. Kunene, 33 females, 154 males. Ohangwena, 45 females, female testimonies. Male testimonies, 98. Omaheke, 21 female testimonies. Male testimonies, 111. Omusati, Almost said something that would get me in trouble. Omusati, 42 female and 96 males. Commercial break, we'll continue on the other side. Kavango West, you have got to be kidding me. 11?
Goeie nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. As jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imba te geniet, kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-2222.
Welcome back. But Kavango West, don't worry, you are not the lowest. You are not the lowest to give the statistics on ancestral land when it comes to, you know, you didn't have the lowest female testimonies. That prize went to the Zambezi region with just 6. Now, I don't know who to blame here. Is it the inquiries, the guys that were conducting the inquiries, or the regional participants that were invited? The 6? Just 6? Really? Just 6. And 78. Oh, my gender represented me very well. Shout out, guys. Bravo. Shout out. But this is a discussion on ancestral, and for the most part, of course, it has a lot of traditional connotation to this whole discussion. When you are talking about traditional, so it's not surprising that the whole discussion became very patriarchal, at least in voices that were recorded. And Oshodenjupa region, 37 females and 218 males, male testimonies. Oshikoto, 32 females and 83 males. Oshana, 25 men. Oshana. And by the way, in case 25 female testimonies and 54 male testimonies. Where were y'all hiding? Omusati, 42 female testimonies and 96 male testimonies. Omaheke, 21 female testimonies and 111. Now, the gap here is Jesus. Now, this table basically shows that 77% of the total number of testimonies received by the commission were made by males, with only 23, less than that of of a quota, by females. This shows a clear domination by males during the public hearings. We showed up, really, and represented. Shout out, guys. Shout out. Now, this is what the breakaway guys in Catholic wants, you know. More guy power and less female. I can't believe people still think like that. It's the 21st century. Jesus. So, Zambezi, 6 female testimonies and 76 male testimonies. Kavango West, I can't defend us on this one. And even worse, Kavango East, 10 female testimonies and 40. That's an interesting number. And 40. Well, anyway, where was I? 40 male testimonies. Look, man, for those of us with a lot of very mean friends from other tribes, numbers like this gets me cooked. And I can't defend myself, nor can I defend my two regions. Actually make them 3. Just throw commas in there. 52, that's the best we can do. 52. Now, when it comes to male testimonies, male testimonies, the highest in the region, the highest in the country, was Oshodenjupa with 218 testimonies. 218 testimonies. Now, the lowest goes to Zambezi. Zambezi. The lowest goes to, unfortunately, my region with 40. Look, I'm here. I could have participated. Give me a break. And when it comes to female testimonies, the highest prize goes to Comas. Okay, Comas. Huh. Shout out to Comas. Ladies in Comas are more interested in ancestral land discussion. So 52, making them the highest. And the lowest female testimonies per region, Zambezi. Now that one, it's kind of hard to defend you guys. So, male testimonies, the highest, Oshodenjupa region with 218 male testimonies on ancestral land inquiries. And male testimonies, the lowest, Kavango East. How? I can't keep defending us when we are doing things like this. I mean, we could have gone with 40, but why 40? That's an interesting number considering the statistics of... anyway... I mean, I need bodyguards, and I can't afford them, you know, too broke, because y'all are just laughing and not paying for my jokes. Just get me pizza, you know. Beginning to think I might as well just move to Italy. Double stack with extra cheese and extra barbecue. Sweet. Speaking of which, I'm going to pick one on my way home. Anyway. Now let's just take a theme song break, And then we'll continue on the other side by starting with page 18, and then we'll just run through until page 24. And this is not just I mean, it's a run through because believe me when I tell you, it's a lot of information. So let's take a theme song break and we'll continue on the other side of this, of today's Mind the Gap. Speaking of which, this is Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM, if you just tuned in. And it's a comedy show, so don't take things personally. Personally. Don't deal with me personally. Thank you very much.
I wake up this morning and check the pot. Yesterday food finish. Today pot day hot with nothing. Water they boil inside empty pot. Steam they come out. I close the lid. Pretend say something they cook. I count my coins since morning. In no rich transport. I trek 3 miles to work under sun. No escort. My shoe they open mouth. The soul don't separate. I use rubber band hold them. So you no go vibrate. I reach work. My hunger ask why I dey sweat. I say na exercise. Hunger they make me forget. Lunchtime everybody job. I drink water, fill my chest. I tell them I already ate. God forgive me for that jest. Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. Papa God borrow me 10 billion. Hunger go kill me. If I don't play back, God Satan responsible. If I don't play back, God the devil responsible. Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. Papa God borrow me 10 billion. Hunger go kill me. Overdue. Teacher put my child out of class, what I go do? I beg the teacher, give me 1 more week. She don't hear that one before, she don't even speak. Night time, I kneel down, whole family they sleep. I cry to God, quiet, the kind of cry that is deep. My wife ask what we go cook, I say God go provide. She look at me, she look at pot, nothing there inside. Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. Papa God borrow me 10 billion. Hunger go kill me. Nothing to show, something no they right. My neighbor they cook, they smell enter my room. I swallow saliva, I pretend say I fool. Boom, I know they give up, but Lord hear my cry. Because hunger no supposed be the reason I die. Just borrow me small, I go work out to pay. And if I feel lost, now devil lead me astray. Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. Papa God borrow me 10 billion. Hunger go kill me.
request, you know, now accept. You see my message, girl, me no fit deny. What do you do me? I know fit forget. Some women are wicked, some women are wicked. Sugar baby, sweet, only when money day. But I know get money now, but I can get money. If you know I do, then let me know. If I know fit postpone my love, I know go fit postpone my love. My money no day I did.
Tabazende kize, imba izwezi pili. Luekerize mikwaye nguyencha kukona kunolofaza kwa nkufisa, hamo chualo ni mata amskavo na kare. Kana mitukiserize kubona msevelezo wa imba ye, mufumane lisevelezo ze izwezi pili ze kakulifafela mashiringi alika na 36 na miben dollars kakweli. Kapa kamikwaye kutesifa fasi ye tatama, 5% machipisa hamungolisari kwerize talu, 10% machipisa hamungolisari kwerize sirela, 25% machipisa hamungolisari kwerize lishumi peri. Muketeri kwerizo Movata, kulimukone kukala kuikola zendezeo imba imiswalezi fama chipisa. Imba, toku kubukaniri fasi kaufela. Mwipe kwa lisevelezo za imba kachenu, kulimukone kuikola zende kaufela.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom.
Lets you express your constitutional freedom of expressing yourself without fear. Oh, well, someone should add, better have a lawyer. Because Eagle FM is not responsible for you getting sued. Anyway, where was I before the, you know, before my my wife through the commercial break basically cut me off? Pidgin English and Patois. And I know a lot of people say, you know, this language is romantic, that, you know, French is, Spanish is, for some reason, I just don't get it. I don't. I really don't. But Swahili and, oh, Lingala. Hello. And, yeah, it's Swahili, Lingala, and, Patwa. Throw Patwa in there. So my first go-to, you know, destination when I, if comedy fails and I join politics and steal enough money. So you have a chance now to laugh at my jokes so that I can be rich through comedy. Because if comedy fails, hey, thanks to the University of Eagle FM, I have mastered the art of lying with a straight face. Now, that's what I do every Sunday. Monday to Friday, it's difficult because you have to be diplomatic and all that. But Sunday, oh, I can go wild, just, you know, go nuts. So, let's finish that and then we come to, and time is flying. Jesus. Because I have a lot of information. I mean, it's just a run through, don't worry. I'm not gonna read everything and then bore you to death.
I did for you, I did. Now you wanna use me to play.
I did for you, I did. Now you wanna use me to play me, oh man, I will leave me a wrong man. Call me Mr. Romantic, yeah, yeah. For you, I did it. For you, I did it. For you, for you, yeah.
And welcome back. Now that we are let's go to that report and just run through all those pages. Just pick up the sarcastic parts that resonates with my show, and then we can just move on to start cooking white people from there. We started regionally, and then now let's go. Actually, we're still on nationally. That although to some degree started off like regionally. Now, migrations. Animals move in search of resources. That's it. We call it rural to urban migration, but bottom line is migration. All through history, the most universal rule of all animals on this planet is when there is resources scarcity, you find a place that has resources and move there. That's it. And the irony is everyone is complaining about migration now, both black and white people. They are running around saying migration is bad, migration. Okay, now a quick question. If you are in Europe, you are good. You can complain about migration. If you are in Canada, if you are European or any European descent, you are in Canada. Let me just say, if you are of European descent and you are outside of Europe, you can't complain about migration. How the heck do you think you got there? How the heck do you think you got to New Zealand? Your ancestors had to migrate. How do you get to Australia? Immigration. Christopher Columbus explored the seas. No, he immigrated. Our forefathers founded. No, they were immigrants. What forefathers? Our forefathers founded this piece of land on strong moral. No, they didn't. They slaughtered people. That, look, this is why I like being a comedian, because in public position, and much of the political discourse is shrouded in too much political correctness. When our forefathers came to this land, no, they immigrated. My parents came here with nothing but just the clothes they had on their back. Yeah, how did they come? They weren't tourists, that's for sure. Because they would have gone, they would have gone back if they were tourists. The reason why you are here and you have all this citizenship is they immigrated. So you are a descendant of an immigrant. Now what we are seeing is basically the hypocrisy of human nature, where you have children or descendants of immigrants making anti-immigration laws. What the? Like, is there a time that is going to determine, you know what, we immigrated to here, and now that we are here, now, for those of us that came until, that came before this specific time period, we are not immigrants. No. We are founders, the glory of mankind, and we have roots to this land. Now, anyone that comes after this time period is an immigrant, and we have to deport them. What? Now, my favorite part is every time that I look up, every time that I look up, the most intelligent creature on the planet, human beings keeps popping up on top of the list, which doesn't surprise me because, well, we compile the damn list in the first place. Now, the thing is, if you look at the way that we conduct ourselves, one could argue we are the dumbest as a species. We're really dumb. Point of correction. We're stupid. A dumb is making it politically correctness. And here in Mind the Gap, we don't do political correctness. We just go all out. So, we're stupid. Human beings. No, but according to anthropology and evolution, white people are a little elevated. No, we're all stupid. Again, one thing I like to point out is the entire history of Australia is based on a group of white people getting rid of other white people. So it has never been about skin color, even though we like to make it about skin color today. It has never been about skin color. It has always been, do you have the same account balance as I am? Because if you don't, I'm shipping you behind Australia. And they did the exact same thing. The history of Australia, which is being a prison colony, is based on exactly that. The founders of what is today the United States, which founders? There were people already there. Now, the immigrants of the European immigrants, congratulations, Helmut, you're good at this. The European immigrants who called themselves founders of what is today the United States, they didn't go there because things were very nice in Europe. No. Are you kidding me? Just a selected few stole all the resources and a bunch of people at the bottom were suffering. And as a result, as a result of lack of access to resources and opportunities, they ran for their lives. How do you think, which is why I like the name Cape of Good Hope. There is Cape of Good Hope in South Africa because there was a Cape of Terrible Hope in Europe. When they landed in Africa, I was like, oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank God, because my God, those guys can steal. And you know what's my favorite part about human beings? They ran away from people who stole all the resources and then made them suffer. They ran away, came here, and started doing the exact same thing that they ran away from. So they started stealing and hoarding all the resources. Seriously, guys, didn't you learn anything from stealing all the resources and keeping it for yourselves? So it was only bad when you were not at the top of the hoarding. Now that you are, there's nothing wrong about it. Now, that's why I keep saying human beings, I don't know any living organism that is more stupid than a human being. Because you have people that ran away from oppression and then set up a society that was based on oppression. That's apartheid, South Africa 101. Jim Crow, US, Southern US. Exactly the same WhatsApp group. These are the guys that ran away from Europe because a bunch of guys that called them royals, blue blood, and whatever nonsense they came up with, started telling everyone that their power came from God. And according to God, by the way, the only people that have access to power and occupy power, the only people with all the wisdom to know the in and outs of power and politics, are those ones that God said, you, only you and your family can understand all this economics and all this politics. And after saying that, that very same God said, I created all of you, including you who are rich and you who are poor. And by the way, did I mention I love all of you? Right. So, who's joining me to hell, according to the Christian point of view? So, let's look at, before we look at the current immigration going on in Europe, let's look at let's get to know ourselves first. Different tribes now, shall we? Okay, now, the report basically lists a brief history of, historical background of different tribes in Namibia. And that brief history is arranged alphabetically. Now, you start with, Awambo communities, just one basket. Don't worry, they did the same with,
pretty much every group, like, you know, Kavangos. They didn't say Kavango East, West, or Giriku, Mpukushu. It was like Kavangos and one basket. Because let's face it, we came together. We just decided, you know what, I think we have this and this difference. Nonsense. Now, the Awambos are believed, it is believed that the Awambo communities have their origins from the Great Lakes in East Africa. So, hear that? East Africa. Now, the migration part is one that is also, is one that's very interesting with the, with the Awambo communities. They consisted mainly of 8 subgroups, each with Omukwanilwa. One thing I like about Bantu languages, Umkwanilwa or leader and a territory. They are believed to have reached their current settlement areas around 1500s. So we're talking about the 16th century, 1500s, coming through parts of Angola known as Mukuchu or Mukusiu. Why does that sound like Mukusiu? Before trekking to Oshana, which was the first collective settlement. So shout out to not Oshana, Oshamba. I almost said shout out to Oshana. Now, where is Oshamba? Now, Oshamba lies northeast of what is now called Ongwediva. So, 1500s. And my favorite part is, as related groups joined them, they came to occupy an area stretching roughly from the Etosha Pen to the upper reaches of Kunene and Kavango rivers in Angola. Yeah. Kavango River is, Bambos, 1500s. That's an interesting one. So, Bastards, towards the end of the 18th century, so 15th century, Bambos and Bastards, towards the end of the 18th century, so we're talking, towards the end of the 1700s. Towards the end of the 1700s and the beginning of the 1800s, a number of Bastard communities emerged in the area between northwestern part of Cape Colony and the lower part of Carib. There is a clique there. I just don't want to insult people, so. So that's why I'm just, because one thing I was told about click languages is that if you can't click it right, just pronounce it like you're seeing it. Otherwise, you're gonna, invite Kren. Now, Carib is what is known today as the Orange River. Some of these inhabited the area known as the Cape, South Africa. There's a, Africans were there, this close to insulting people. Now, in the late 1800s, groups of the Bastard community announced their intentions to leave the Cape Colony, One group was under the leadership of Captain Derek Philander. Also, don't murder me. They left the Cape Colony and settled around the area known as Grootfontein South. Okay. So, the Bastard communities, 1860s, 1870s. So we're moving here. Kavango communities, gather around. It is generally believed that the Kavango communities have their origin in the Great Lakes in East Africa. Why does that sound familiar? Well, it turns out it is believed that the Awambo communities have their origin from the Great Lakes of East Africa. Really? So, Kavangos and Vambos, just get this report and go to page 18 and 19. And you need a conversation. Now, for those Kavangos and Vambos with a big forehead like mine, congratulations. We still have that East African trademark, a.k.a. Identity. Because if you have seen Ethiopians and have seen Somalians, we have like a little solar panel. Now, and even shout out to those Vambos and Kavangos that are bald. I'm not saying, you know, you took it a little far, but shout out to you guys. You know, sacrificing your hair to keep the identity through identity of East Africa. Now, so it is generally believed that the Kavango communities have their origins from the Great Lakes in East Africa, from where they migrated in a southwesterly direction to settle near the Kwandu River. That's still in Angola. So we came through Angola. So that's why you have a lot of these relationships between different countries, especially at border towns. So they came through the Kwandu River before moving to their present day settlements. Now, the last part of their migration took place in the 1750s and 1800s. So this is how I'm picturing this happening. So we were just in one community, and Vambos were like, okay, so you guys are staying. We're leaving. So 1500s, they pack their bags and leave. And we were like, nah, yeah, don't worry. We're just going to hang around here. You'll have a good life. Fast forward to 1700s. I don't know what was going on in East Africa, but your things were getting tight. And just a bunch of Kavangos gathered together, like, which direction did the Vambos go again? I didn't know. Okay. Mind if you follow them? Thank you very much, because man, things here sucks. Must be the desert. I'm blaming the desert. But so, our radar was very terrible, because we ran away from a desert and then came straight to a desert. Assuming we come from parts of Sudan. Yeah, now the Great Lakes. Hang on a second. We left the forest and, oh man. Now, the Nama communities believes that based on traces of phrases and words found in Sudan, that the Nama migrated from Northeast Africa well in advance of the Bantu migration. Translation: the Namas got here before most of us. Now, those who migrated further south beyond the Orange River into the Cape during the 1500s were later referred to as the Worlam Namas because of the assimilation into and influence from the Dutch culture following the arrival of settlement of the Dutch to Table Bay in 1652. Now, Dutch settlers think white people. They are just showing up and they are being nice. At this point, they are very nice. So, We're just here to trade. You're like, so you want to trade? So very much. Thank you very much. What we did not know is that they were running from, just a bunch of their kind hoarding all the resources. The question is, hang on a second. If Europeans were running out from that, what the heck were we running out from? That's an interesting one. I would like to know more now. Now, so the Nama communities as 1500s to 1600s, according to, there's a name of an author I cannot. The thing is, the Namas, a lot of Namas found themselves in the northern part of South Africa and the southern part of Namibia and deep into Namibia. After fleeing from the encroaching Bure farmers, doesn't the word Bure mean farmer? So it's farmers. Anyway, what do I know about Afrikaans? But I just think it's funny. But the farmers, as well as the hardship imposed by Dutch colonial administrators and settlers. Now, you know, when I said earlier that when they first showed up, they were very nice and were like, you know what, let's just work together. I mean, we could use some sunscreen. I don't know how you guys are surviving. I'm black. Of course, I'm built for this environment. You, by the way, need sunscreen because you look like you're about to bleed. And anyway, there's your land. You're like, all right, so white. Something that is as scarce as heck. These guys have it in abundance. Hallelujah. So they started telling each other, and like every group of people, a bunch of rotten apples started building apartheid regime. Next thing we know, we have the, you know, segregation. Again, human beings. For people that ran away from oppression to start an oppression. And that's pretty much Israel today. Ran away from oppression and then started running one. I'm watching a lot, and actually my favorite videos on the current Israeli government is mostly coming from Jews themselves. So it's like I like to point out, it's not a racial or tribal thing. It has always been about power. Always about power. Religious differences, racial differences, sexual orientation difference, and all that nonsense, that's just the cover on top. Underground, it's the foundation has always been about power. And power works better if you divide the people that you want to control. And my favorite historian on that subject is one that I've referenced a lot on my show, and that's Noah Harari with his Homo Deus. Rich people have spent a lot of resources into making sure that people who cannot afford polony don't like each other. Because if they like to each other, they will come together and they'll start asking, why are we broke though? Have you ever thought of that? Now, imagine people of different skin colors, races, and sexual orientation coming together and saying, okay, why are we broke? That is the scariest thing for anyone in power. Especially if they have stolen, which is about 90 to 100% of them, stolen a bunch of things to make themselves rich. That is one scary picture. Now you know why it's important to spend millions into dividing you. You find a bunch of white guys and tell them, you know those black people there? You are more evolved than them. And while you are feeding them that poison, you go to the bunch of black people and tell them, you know those bunch of white guys there? They colonized you, so they still don't like you. But a little bit told me that they were saying that they are better than you. He planted the idea. Welcome to the world of power. Works like a charm. University of Eagle FM have taught me so much. So, Nama communities, 15 to 1600s. And then coming up next, the Damara communities. Damara communities consist of approximately 33 clans, and all of whom speaks various dialects. And no traces of their migration routes have so far been identified in Africa or elsewhere. They appear, however, They appear, however, to be some linguistic affinities with the Kwedi in Angola and the Sandawe and Hadza in Tanzania. Man, did we migrate? Oral evidence suggests that prior to that's my favorite part. Oral evidence suggests that prior to 1870, the hunter gatherer Damara occupied most central Namibia, living in inaccessible bush or mountains, where they had settled in mountains stronghold of the Erongo, Brandberg, Awas, Comas, Comas, and is it Paresis, really, and Otavi. Seemingly having ended up there because their original space on the plains had been taken over by migrant pastoralist communities. Does that sound familiar? So, Every time that we moved and we found other people in a piece of land, we just kicked the heck out of them and then Jesus. And you, this is why it would be very difficult to convince me that human beings are smart. I don't care what your skin color is. Human beings are just dumb. Because of the things we do to each other. Evil things we do to each other. The night one is awesome. But the evil things that we do to each other. I didn't mean witchcraft. I know that's when, you know, when you're a Kavango and you say things in reference to night, you have to explain. And that brings us to Ova Herero. It is believed that the Ova Herero communities migrated. There's a lot of it is believed here, so most of it was oral, you know, information transfer. It is believed that the Ova Herero communities migrated into Kaokofeld region in the northwest southwest Africa from around 16th century, from the Greek lakes of Eastern Europe. Okay, my God. So, Kavangos, Tamaras, Kavangos, Hereros, Vambos, Greek lakes. Greek lakes in East Africa. That's where you can trace your origin. Hear that? Now, the Great Lakes refer to the massive interconnected freshwater systems of Great Lakes, Africa. It's the Great Lakes region spans 11 countries across East Africa and Central, housing approximately 25% of the planet's unfrozen surface water. We are here talking about, we don't have water in Namibia. We ran away from water, guys. We ran away from water. Zambezians, I'll be with you shortly. We ran away from water. A lot of water. Now, the Great Lakes, has 25% of the world's unfrozen fresh water. Anchored by monumental bodies of water, like Lake Victoria, Lake Tanganyika, that's the old name for Tanzania, and Lake Malawi. The basin supports crucial fisheries. See, even we didn't have to come here. There is fish there. There could still be fish rot. Vast biodiversity and a population of over 100 million people as of today. So think Tanzania, Malawi. Yeah, think Tanzania and Malawi. That part. Tanzania, Malawi, Kenya, that region. Herero, Vambos? That's where we are from. Tanzania, Malawi, and then you could just, parts of northern Zambia, parts of DRC, Burundi, that part is where we are from. Now, where did we come from before we got there? Will take us to where did we come from before we got on the planet, and that's just the time I don't have, time to get into. And my time is flying like crazy. So, Hereros, Great Lakes, aka, Tanzania, Malawi, DRC, Burundi, that part. Now, another source about Hereros referred to archaeological evidence that referred to traces of pastoralists in the 12th century whom some consider to be ancestors of the Ova Herero. The Herero community is constituted of various subgroups. Indications are that they settled in the Kaokofeld, for over 200 years before starting their southward migration towards the rangeland of central Namibia. Yeah. I know, right? It's an interesting. Now, and then we come to the Sen community. Ooh. First of all,
First of all, the history in this part of the country is, or this part of Africa, basically, is so old. Now, you know how I pointed out earlier that we have a lot of, it is believed. With the Zen community, it is even more believed that we don't know much about the history of their migration. We know that they are the oldest occupiers of not just the southern part of Africa, possibly Africa. And you can tell one of the identifying markers, at least that Dwight pointed me in the direction of, one of the identifying marker of that will tell you how old a language is the amount or number of click words or clicks it has. The more the clicks, the older the language. I think I can count the number of clicks in my language. Namba is a product. It's a natural vegetable. It grows along the river. We eat it. It's delicious. Ngunyambi. That's how we say, I swear to God. So there's a click there. Nganyi is something like I will, but that's not one sharp click. That the Namba Ngunyambi. That's Timbukushu. So I can count in like the really, 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 really few. So archaeological evidence confirmed the existence of various subgroups with different linguistic dialects. Now that's in reference to the Zen communities, which are clustered under the broad label of Zen. Five main subgroups have been identified in Namibia. Zen communities lived in small dispersed groups wherever resources permitted. Again, that points to the reasons why we move is because we move in search of resources. So it is that old. Possibly the oldest, inhabitants of not just, Southern Africa, but possibly Africa. So in other words, it's fair to say if we are to trace our origin as a species, as human beings, chances are very high we're going to end up with languages that speak click languages at the end of that whole, evolutionary or creation spectrum, whatever you want to call it, just go nuts. Really don't have time for that. I have 10 minutes. So you have Tswanas. The ancestors of the Tswana tribe moved to the area of the southern of Limpopo from East Africa during the 14th century in several separate migrations. Oh yeah, talk about separate migrations. Here they split into two groups, the Basutu of South and the Botswana of the West, and centuries of fighting among themselves. The decimation by the Zulus under King Shaka, now we are getting closer to modern history. Under King Shaka, fighting with white settlers, dispersed the Tswana people over a large area. So we have one planet, and we move a lot, and we moved in search of resources, and when we meet, we fight for like really. Human beings, again, repeat after me, really dumb. Now. That brings us to the last part of it, and that is the Zambezi region. The Zambezi communities, as referred to in this report, refers to a group of communities belonging to different cognate or connected ethnic groups. The speaker of the is it Kwedam? Chimbalangwe, Chifwe, Chisuvia, and Chitotela, Chitei, would you look at that? Timbukushu. That's why when someone speaks Lozi, I don't need a translator. Why? Well, it turns out we came through the same boat. People came through the same boat. So when we reached the Zambezi River, the Zambezians were like, especially the Lozis were like, yeah, you know what, we're going to stay here. And Pukushus were like, you know what, We're just going to shift a little bit to the side of Divundu. What's Divundu? I know it will be called like that in 21st century, but we're going to move there, and then, we're going to build a bridge for you guys so that every time that you come from Windu, you can be, you know, you have free access. That's why. So, a lot of tribes, apart from the San community and the Basters, the rest of us can be traced to East Africa, to East Africa in origin. We just kept moving and moving and moving. So, Zambezi, the history and occupation of what is now the Zambezi region remains contested. The Kaprivi Boundary Commission concluded that both the Mafwe and Masuvia, the B is a V, which is actually my favorite part because it Masuvia. Oh. There's B, there's V. Now the B in that language seems to be to be pronounced as a V, which is which reminds me of some of my one of my favorite language in Zambia, Vemba. It's it starts with a B, but the B is pronounced with a softer lip contact. Vemba. Not Bemba. No. Yeah. Now, the Kaprivi, so you have the Masuvia, amongst others, migrated into the eastern Kaprivi Tsipfel from elsewhere. Elsewhere, it is only the period of migration that differs. Eastern Kaprivi, Kaprivi Tsipfel was carved out of the Barotse land in southwestern Zambia, and its history is intertwined with the surroundings. Yeah, I know that, which is why I kept pointing out that when someone speaks Suvia, when someone speaks especially Lozi, I don't need a translator for like 80% of that conversation. That's how interconnected the languages are. And the question of eastern boundary amongst Talwek of the Zambezi was raised by the Germans in 1910 and not decided until 1933. Whew. I know. Oh no, they said no. So the northern boundaries was determined in 1886 in the treaty between the Portuguese and the Germans, and was a straight line from the Kavango River to the rapids of Katimamulilo. Ah, this is an interesting piece of document. Now, the Concise Oxford English Dictionary defines colonialism, and then they get into the whole colonialism. Now, I don't have time. October 1492, that's a whole, history. Christopher Columbus arrived in the Caribbean from Spain during Age of Discovery. No, it's the Age of Theft. They were stealing land and people, literally. The Age of Discovery. Look, one thing I like about being in this line of work is I get to tell the difference between the bullcrap language and the reality on the ground. That was not the Age of Discovery. It was the Age of Discovery if you're European. It was the Age of Plundering if you were not one. But bottom line, what discovery? It was migration. They were immigrants. You're welcome. Now, a little bit of music. And then we cow cheeses. I only have 3 minutes. Okay.
See the colors of on my face. See the light at the end of the tunnel. And I can feel heaven in this place. And that's the sign of a victory. That's the sign of a victory. Nations, and I can feel my wings riding the wind. Yeah, I see the finish line just up ahead now, and I can feel it rising deep within. And that's the sign of a victory. That's the sign of a victory. Now I can see the distance of your journey, how you fought with all your might. You open your eyes to global warming, and through it all, you sacrificed your life. That's the sign of a victory.
That's a sign of victory by R. Kelly, you know, just shortly before he was locked up for questionable activities that would also get PDD locked up with a mountain of baby oil. That's as if that's disturbing enough. You know how I know that the laws are not written for the powerful? It's because the crimes that are in the human rights violations and just the despicable, immoral garbage that is in the Epstein files implicating pretty much of the billionaires that you know in the Western world. I mean, that R. Kelly's crimes doesn't get anywhere near that bad. Oh, they are bad, but compared to what's in the Epstein files? R. Kelly and PDD are just a couple of angels. Because the Epstein files have just, yeah, that's just, okay, before I get fired. It is not okay. I just don't want to get fired because that is just something else. Nelly, just a dream.
Thank you. now she found her a replacement. I swear now I can't take it, knowing somebody's got my baby. And now you ain't around, baby, I can't think. I should've put it down, should've got that ring. Cause I can still feel it in the air. See a pretty face, run my fingers through her hair. My love, my life, my shawty, my wife. She left me, I'm tight. See her face at every turn. Trying to get my usher on, but I can't let it burn. And I just hope she know that she the only one I yearn for. More and more I miss her, what will I learn? Didn't give her all my love, I guess now I got my payback. Now I'm in the club thinking all about my baby. Hey, she was so easy to love, but wait, I guess that love wasn't enough. I'm going through it every time that I'm alone. And now I'm wishing she'd pick up the phone. But she made a decision that she wanted to move on. Cause I was wrong. And now I'm thinking about her.
Nelly, Just a Dream. We are 23 minutes left to the hour of one. If you just tuned in, this is Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM, and I'm here until the hour of one. And apart from my historical nerdism, like sarcasm, like a lot. Now, of course, coming up next in our on our list of cooking, at least in just 2, 3, maybe 5 minutes, will be the rebel Catholic group in Switzerland, Unrepentant over Excommunication. That's according to Reuters, July 2nd, 2026. A group of Catholics in Switzerland who are now being called members of a breakaway Catholic group, Excommunicated. Now, Excommunicated is the religious way, from the look of things, of saying, you know what, from now henceforth, you shall never enter heaven, because I thus save me, the vicar of or representative of Christ, and something like that. Now, the Vatican said on Thursday that priests and lay Catholics, aka the guys at the tail end of the whole power structure, lay Catholics who are part of the breakaway right-wing Catholic group that ordained bishops without Pope Leo's approval, were in schism. Now, this is not the first schism that the Catholic is going through. They have been something, they've been through something called the Great Schism. And that's just a fancy way of saying there is a divorce in an ideological point of view. And someone decided to go out there and have their own part. And again, that's not, we are talking about what, like, 200 years old tradition. But here's one thing though. Here's one thing though. No, is it 200 or 2000? One of these two. I think it must be somewhere in the 2000. But here's the thing though. Ideological point of view. Religious groups are splitting. So, religious groups are splitting. So, instead of killing each other, just get a divorce. I came across a video that was in a video of a speech by the president of Botswana, Dumaboko, where he was talking about divorce. And I really liked his point of view, because the point he was making, it's a very long speech, but the point he was making that I just picked up from, and I think it was about 10 to 15 minutes long speech, was, why do we look at divorce in such a negative way? Of course, it has its own, it's shunned upon by most communities, but you have to understand that if they were sweethearts at some point and now they are sourhearts, and that tend to happen, it turns out to scare enough in terms of relationships, and they are asking for a divorce, just give them the divorce. Because if you force them to be together for an extended period of time, one of them is going to the grave, and we have seen that. And of course, I'm paraphrasing the president's words on this one. And I totally agree with him. So when they're getting a divorce, instead of telling them, oh my God, you two are getting a divorce. Get your own marriage. And of course, I'll be here to cook you guys. And I'll be here to congratulate you when you get married. And here to cook you when you're divorcing. Especially every beginning of the year. Especially in Windhoek and Oshakati. Now, that's according to the NSA statistics, not me. Now, the Great Schism. So, there's a whole religious divorce going on in the, going on in the Catholic Church. And the Pope Leo is not happy. Now, this group is somewhat, its point of view is, let's go back to the old way of doing things. You know, when women were in the kitchen, and we had to castrate young people at very young age so they can keep up the momentum of the high-pitched female voice in the choir. Just bring in women. It wasn't really rocket science. The last castrato in Italy, who I think died somewhere in the 1920s. This was a fully grown man who had the voice of a, you know, like a 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old boy. And it turns out that's what happens when you cut your crown jewels. It really, really, really screws with your voice. Really. Because when testosterone is not flowing, the next thing you know is you are saying, hey! And everyone's like, you okay, dude? Is something in your throat? No, there's not. Oh, boy. So, we're not going to inspect because we don't have money for therapy, but you do you. Now, Econ, I hope that's how they pronounce it, Switzerland. Members of the breakaway Catholic group excommunicated by the excommunicated over ordination of four bishops were unrepented on Thursday, accusing the church of straying from the true faith and saying Pope Leo has failed to hear their concerns. I thought this only happened to political parties, but then I read a lot of histories, the history that would be ignorant. Again, you know, the whole Great Schism. And I'm in my way religious. Leave me alone. So I have read a bunch of literature about different Christian denominations and how they came to be and how they split in different, now modern day different groups because of different interpretations of one book. One book. It's called the Bible. Just one. You have, I don't know, 1,000 different Christian denominations. So it really is about point of view, isn't it? which is interesting. Now, at their seminary in southwestern Switzerland, omelette. Okay, so it's a different, you know, one is a place, one is food. Now, priests and lay Catholics from the Society of Saint Pius the X said they would carry on before and remain focused on preserving the church's tradition. At this point, if I was Pope Leo, I would be like, hey, you're preserving the church's tradition. What the heck do you think I'm doing? Now, we are at peace with what has happened, as you can see from all the faces. You know what? They are like, excommunication, we don't care. Bye, Pope.
Goeie nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. Is jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imba te geniet? Kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
It's a scandal. So, a bunch of guys in Switzerland just decided to tell the Pope that, you know what, we like it when women are back in the kitchen and we are not being, you know, mixing with other religious groups. This whole thing of one giant ecumenical hug that you are planning to bring us into, we don't subscribe to it. We're just going to create our own, you know, Roman Catholic Junior here in Switzerland. Hang on a second.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate.
I knew I saw this somewhere. Part of the Vatican or the Pope's security guard, you know, security detail, is a group of guys known as, Pontifical Swiss Guards. Now, the Pontifical Swiss Guards, also known as Papal Swiss Guards, Swiss Guards, is an armed force guard of honor and protective security unit maintained by the Holy See, aka Rome. To protect the Pope and the Apostolic Palace. So you have a bunch of military trained guys that are protecting the Pope. They have been since the 1500s, from 1506, with Pope Julius II. And now the country where those guards come from has their own version of, talk about not having a good time. Now, I feel pity for Pope Leo the 14th, because now he has to deal with some tech billionaires like Peter Thiel on one side, and now being in power is not easy, guys. It's not easy. As a comedian / historian and radio presenter, I'm just here for it all. That's all what I'm saying. And you have now, according to The Economist, Westerners are fleeing their countries in record numbers. Yep. After stepping down as New Zealand's Prime Minister in 2023, Jacinda Ardern took up a role at Harvard University. Now she's based in Sydney as is Ms. Aden's decision to live abroad has struck a nerve in the a nerve with Kiwis. Pardon me, who were already worried about high levels of immigration. Anxieties over the former prime minister's leaving arrangement hints to a wider trend across Western across the West. Politicians focus on how many people migrate to their country. The thing is, a lot of people in Western countries are migrating. They are leaving their country, citing a lot of things, including the cost of living. Mind you, these are the rich people that are leaving because of the cost of living. Now, imagine the poor. So that's why when I find people fight over skin color and religious differences, like, does any one of you guys even have a job? You are fighting because you both can't afford bologna? Again, really stupid. Rich people are running because of cost of living now. And by the way, the cost of living, they cost. And right now, in the middle of the time when people are fighting each other over difference in skin color, the people that caused the foundation of the problem are running away. I like rich people. They are smart. If there is one thing rich people are very good at, is turning a bunch of broke idiots to fight each other while they leave, while they run away from the problems they spearheaded into creating. So, next time you want to be a racist, tribalist, look, if you are rich and you want to be racist or tribalist, I know you are doing it to divide the people on the ground. But if you are poor and you are falling for that crap, congratulations, you are an idiot. So, well, I have 9 minutes left, so back to Muzika.
Yeah, worldwide connection from the island breeze to the city light.
Turn it up.
Let the night breathe. City breathing, shadows on the wall, red lights flash when I hear your call. Every step like deja vu, like the world been waiting for me to move with you.
Bassline talking, speaker shake, heartbeat matching every break. Crowd so close, but I see you clear. One look and the noise disappears.
Hands on your waist, time slow down. Whole room fades when you come around. No rules here, just the sound. Gravity lost when we touch the ground.
We got electric. Laughter in the air, your eyes locked and I'm frozen there. Every doubt just fades away when your rhythm tells my heart to stay. Temperature rising every time you're near. Crowds are moving, but it's only us here. I don't rush, I don't pretend. Let the night stretch, don't let it end. World on pause when you touch my skin. Every spark pulls me deeper.
Energy don't tell lies.
Electric.
Electric, Sean Paul was Dua Lipa, electric hit. That's one of those songs that basically remind me how cooked we are in the creative sector. Because last time I checked, that song is... in part, if not in whole, AI generated. I know, it's kind of hard to keep up with that. would give an example, but let's go back to my old school music. Minutes into the hour of one, which means the end of Mind the Gap for this week. Until next weekend, next Sunday. So when then, you know, don't worry, I always have some cooking to do because I literally have the whole week to gather all this information and go through them. So that's why it's, it's the easiest and it's something I'm passionate about. So I can just wake up in the middle of the night and do this. I'm not giving my boss and supervisors ideas though. Fun fact about Old City is that the song was written in 2009. But it came out in 2009. It was written earlier than that, obviously. And it was written by Adam Young during you know, he was working at night at a warehouse, and he has to basically keep himself busy to make sure that he doesn't fall asleep, which sounds very familiar because I'm a Kavango, don't ask. First of all, I'm just insomniac. I rarely sleep at night. I'm a day sleeper. So if you are planning on robbing my house, you're going to have to do it during the day when I'm at work. And they have, you know, the first joke is on you. I don't have a house. The second joke is on you when you run into two dogs. And congratulations, because... And now... The next one if you, I think it's just about how much ample time you have on your hands. Instead of calling it boredom, find something that you are passionate about and put it out there, because that's how Firefly as a hit came out there. Because when it was put online, it wasn't even put up as as an official song that is going to be a hit. It's just that when it was put up as some kind of competition, now the thing is, people liked it and they picked it up. And the next thing, Adam Young knew it was hitting the billboards. And well, now we know about him. So just whatever free time you have, just channel that boredom into something that you're passionate about, and you have no idea how much will come out, how much you can make out of it. And Whiskey Lullaby, one of my favorite songs, was written by a guy that recently just got out of a divorce. And it came out as a hit. It turns out when you are going through crap or when you are bored to death, just as long as you have, that's a lot of energy that you can channel into something that you're passionate about, and a lot can come out of it. And the evidence for that, if you ask me, is Whiskey Lullaby. Whiskey Lullaby is out of someone that was going through a divorce. Basically like post-divorce pains. I've been through, several, let's just say several, not many, leave me alone, several breakups. And they are painful as heck. And every time that I go through one of those, what I can stop asking myself is, if this is a breakup, I can only imagine a divorce. I do not want to go through one of those, because my God, it's at least a breakup. You don't owe parents an explanation, but divorce, you owe everyone an explanation. They saw you dance, remember? I mean, why can't life just be easy? Just a minute past the hour of one, and that brings us to the end of Mind the Gap. Until next Sunday, y'all, stay tuned, stay blessed, and just remember, tomorrow is Monday.